Good morning, everyone. It's about 11:30 here, Central Time, in Pineville, Missouri. And we have a special guest with us today, my son, Mark Phillips. Can you say hi, Mark?
Hi.
And I'm glad to have Mark with me today. We are also supposed to have Walt Stickle today. He agreed to come on and do our weekly broadcast. He's yet not shown up, so we'll see if he does show up. Anyway, today I want to talk about several things. A while ago I went to the library, and they always have these free books, right? And they had this book out in the free book section, Elon Musk, Quest for a Fantastic Future. And lo and behold, I opened the book up, and inside it was a letter, and I'm sure it wasn't meant to be left in there. Inside it was a letter from the governor's office, the former governor of Arkansas, the Arkansas Department of Education, and it says, Asa Hutchinson, Governor, greetings. On December 6, 2020, as a part of Governor Asa Hutchinson's Computer Science Initiative, the Arkansas Department of Education Office of Computer Science announced that public libraries that serve students in any combination of grades K to 5 receive a copy of Elon Musk, a kid's book about inventions. Mm-hmm. School's copy of Elon Musk, A Quest for a Fantastic Future. You know, and so they're recommending this book, and it's signed by Anthony Owen, the State Director, Office of Computer Science, but it's on Asa Hutchinson's governor's letterhead from the Arkansas Department of Education. And this book by Asa Hutchinson is written by Ashley Vance. It's an autobiography of Elon Musk. And it is unbelievable what's in this book. Talk about the exaltation of the creature. It says, the inspirational story about one of the world's most important innovators. Praise for the New York Times bestseller. A tremendous look into arguably the world's most important entrepreneur. An unforgettable picture of Musk's unique potentiality, insatiable drive, and ability to thrive through hardship. Unquote, the Washington Post. Well, I would encourage our audience to go to your computer, your Google, and Google up Elon Musk and the Pope, and you'll get your boat loaded. There's so many pictures of Elon Musk with the Pope. Now, this morning I turned on American Family Radio. They have a morning program with Tim Wildman and a group of other people. And then they have an earlier program with a gal that used to be a member of the Trump Organization. I think I forget her name now. But anyway, you know who she had on her program today? Father Frank Provone, an ousted Roman Catholic priest. Father, and she called him Father on her broadcast. This is supposed to be a Christian radio broadcast she has on Father Frank Provone. Of course, she's promoting pro-life things. That's because that's why he got kicked out of the Roman Catholic Church, because of his position against abortion. But yet at the same time, she's got a former Roman Catholic priest who has not come out against Rome. He still supports the Roman Catholic Church. Now, do you know that the Attorney General of the United States office, they say it wasn't directly from his office, but it was supposedly from an office, I think, in Richmond, Virginia, put out a memo saying to go after all the people who were coming against abortion because they were white supremacists. the Attorney General's Office of the United States has become weaponized against people who take a pro-life stance. Even the conservatives, and I use that word with tongue in cheek, there are no conservative Roman Catholics. They are all frauds. But those who hold a pro-life position, now you've got the Attorney General of the United States office writing memos to come out against them because they are considered white supremacist. So you see the narrative. And now you got Frank Provone on American Family Radio and the host calling him father all the way through her broadcast. Call no man father on the earth. Right? And so, very interesting sequence of events. Rosetta, if I gave you Walt Stickles' phone number, could you call him and tell him that we're on live and he's missing out on the broadcast? Here's his phone number. That's 4549 is the last four. Okay, so we were planning on talking about a couple of books that Walt had me publish. He did the introduction in both books, The Vatican Jesuit Global Conspiracy, Book 2 and Book 1, The Vatican Jesuit Global Conspiracy. And we were going to talk about a couple sections in both books today if we had time. The one section is how America became a Jesuit enclave. How America became a Jesuit enclave. And we're also going to talk about some of the other books that we offer through Lulu.com. The Lies of Free Will, Do You Control Your Own Destiny? Phillips versus the State of Missouri. It talks about my case against the state of Missouri and how God won a victory for us because of my wrongful termination as a social worker for refusing to place children with homosexual foster parents. The most unpopular book that I've ever written is God Does Not Love Everyone, But He Does Love His Elect From Everlasting to Everlasting. It's 352 pages. You can get that from Lulu.com. Poems for Edification, Volumes 1 through 5. It's now Volumes 1 through 5. And then Biblical Christianity was written back in 2000. When did I write that? 2009, a number of years ago. Biblical Christianity, Concise Treatise on Biblical Christianity. And you can get any of those books from Lulu.com. Okay? And so that's what's going on right now. Mark, do you have anything to share with the audience today?
I appreciate you sharing your time with the people that's hearing us. I'm happy.
Okay, that's good. Sharing. What do you think about Elon Musk, Mark?
I've never met the man before.
What do you think about how the society almost has a love-hate relationship with him, don't they? There's some of them that love him and some of them that hate him. Okay, kind of like Trump, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. And what do you think about Bill Gates?
I've never, I don't know if Bill Gates,
Bill Gates is a piece of work, isn't he?
Yeah, he's
a piece of work. What do you think about, what do you think about churches that bring women into leadership in the church?
I think that's pretty good.
Why is that?
Women like to dominate over men. The Bible says nothing to do with that.
That's true.
Someone in the Bible.
That's true. I agree with you on that.
Yeah.
We've seen a lot of that, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
What do you think about the LGBT?
I like that.
It's a mess, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Well, we're trying to get... I'm having Rosette try to get a hold of Walt Stickle. Are you there?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm still on the call. I'm still trying to see if Walt's going to join us on the call or not. Let's just talk a little bit about these books that Walt had me put on Lulu. the Vatican Jesuit Global Conspiracy. Now, these books have multiple authors in them. I mean, it's not just Walt Stickel. Ronald Cook. We have many other authors introduced throughout this book. And I would really highly recommend both of these books. They are full of information that I think will be very valuable for you to take a look at. Folks, we're living in a time of total confusion. We become a total ecumenical society. Mm-hmm. The alliance between, is he going to call in? The alliance between the Roman Catholics and Evangelicals Together movement was endorsed by J.I. Packer, an Anglican priest, and he wrote a book called Knowing God, which was very popular. And then he went all over Europe promoting Evangelicals and Catholics Together, along with Chuck Colson, and a number of other people. And now we have what we have today, a total marriage between Catholicism and Evangelicalism. What a mess that is, right? What a mess that is. Well, I'm waiting for... I want to welcome Pastor Asa Khurshid from Pakistan. And also we've had many other guests join us in the morning whenever we do our daily devotional, from Kenya, from Uganda, from Rwanda, from parts of South Africa, India, many places, the Philippines, Asia. We've even had people listening from North Korea at times. So it has been quite a outreach of information throughout the world. Let me go and see if Walt has joined us yet. I don't see him yet joining in. My wife did get a hold of him, and he said he was going to be calling in. We've been on air now for about 15 minutes, so I'm going to have to tell him to make sure to check his clock next week so we don't have this problem. This book, The Lies of Free Will, I would strongly encourage people to get your hands on it. It's a short read. It's only about an hour and a half worth of reading. It's 43 pages. And it goes through the history of the origin of free will all the way down through history to today. And I've often said the only thing that agnostics, atheists, and Arminians can agree on is free will. And the Roman Catholic Church promotes it in their Council of Trent documents. In fact, they go so far as to say, if any man says that you don't have a free will, let him be accursed or anathema. That's a denial of the Holy Spirit's work in causing a person to be born again and leaving it in the hands of man. That's what it is. So we see that this is what is happening. You know, is taking over this whole doctrine of free will of man.
Yeah,
it's amazing, isn't it? Well, this book, Biblical Christianity, written back in 2009, is another short read. I would say in about an hour you could cover this. It covers false doctrines purported about Christianity, the covenant between the Trinity before creation, the absolute sovereignty of God, predestination, election, and effectual calling, Christ manifested in the flesh, his death and resurrection, and our justification and imputed righteousness, the doctrine of last things found in the Bible, the eternal hope for the believer. Now that chapter 6, the doctrine of last things found in the Bible, you know, I am still not totally convinced in a particular eschatological view. I certainly am not a preterist. I don't believe that all things were fulfilled in 70 AD. I do not believe that. But I do believe that Christ is going to return in like manner as he went. I believe that the most important thing is, he says in the 24th chapter of Matthew, that no man knows the hour of his coming, not even the Father which is in heaven. And I take that pretty literal. If no man knows, then no man knows. So these people that come up and think they know exactly when he's coming back, especially those who are said that he's already come back in 70 AD, or those who said that he has set dates for his coming, have been proven wrong over and over and over again. People like Harold Camping, people like the Jehovah's Witnesses, people just like the Seventh-day Adventists, different people who have pronounced certain dates of his return. And so we're not date setters, but I do believe we're living in the last days. I believe that the book of the 24th chapter of Matthew is chronological. I think it goes through. It says, after 70 AD, the scripture continues on and says, these are the beginning of sorrows, not the ending of sorrows. Well, where are you, brother? What did he say he was going to be coming on? What's that? I couldn't hear you. Okay. All right. Okay, well, the other thing I wanted to point out about this, did you have something to say?
Is he going to show?
I don't know. I don't know whether he's going to show or not, Mark. I can't control other people's behavior. I've learned that in my lifetime. I can't even control my own behavior. Oh. Yeah, another thing I'd like to point out about Elon Musk and his book, he is he's really full of himself. He thinks he's so intelligent. He's definitely heliocentric in his view. Of course, there's a lot of Christians that are heliocentric in his view. I was in a old school Baptist church one time, and the minister came over to me because they were going to have lunch, and he knew I held a geocentric view. And he came over and he said, Larry, you're not going to say anything about flat earth, are you? I don't call myself a flat earther, but I don't believe the earth is spinning through space at 60,000 miles an hour or 1,000 miles at the equator, you know. And all I have to ask for people that believe that concept is, are you dizzy yet? Remember that song, Mark, they used to sing? Dizzy.
Yeah.
I'm so dizzy, my head is spinning. Well, I would say we'd be pretty dizzy if that were the case, wouldn't you? Mm-hmm. And so, you might tell him I'm not going to continue on too long here because we've been going for a good 32, 42, 52, about 15 minutes. So usually I try to keep these live stream broadcasts pretty short on Facebook, because when you start getting past 20 minutes, it takes a long time to download these broadcasts, right? So anyway, I thought we had an agreement that every Friday we would broadcast at 11:30 my time, 9:30 Walt's time, but I guess maybe something came up. So, anyway, that's neither here nor there. Rosette's on the phone with Walt right now. I'll try to get a report back from her and see. He said he'll be right here. Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to go out of here and start this call over on my other program because it only allows me an hour. And sometimes Walt gets going. So I'll start it over again, and maybe you won't be cut off. Hopefully that'll be the case. Facebook doesn't limit you on the time frame. I don't know why this isn't going in now. There, it's starting up. Camera's starting. Join now. Restart this up and resynchronize this. It's 11:55 going on 12, so he's 30 minutes late. Here we are again. So we're ready for Walt whenever he shows up.
Yeah.
I've been going 21 minutes and 59 seconds on Facebook. This guy says, "Sir, can you preach the word of God with my congregation in Pakistan via messenger?" Sir, you're welcome to go to Sermon Audio and use any of my sermons. I've got over 4,000 sermons on Sermon Audio. You're welcome to use any of those. There's Walt. You can just go to sermonaudio.com/housechurch. Whoops, I hit the wrong button. I denied his admittance. hopefully he'll call back. Mm-hmm. Can you tell him to call back in again? Tell him I hit the wrong button. I hit the wrong button, folks. I denied his admittance. Can you believe that? There's one that allows them in, and the other one, and I hit the wrong one. So, sorry, Walt. Didn't mean to do that to you. I don't generally have time to preach to different congregations, ASIF, because we have over 4,000 friends on Facebook, plus a number of followers on Sermon Audio and our other 18 platforms. And my voice is hoarse enough as it is, just trying to keep up with those. So, but I would encourage you, if you're interested in listening to our messages, go to sermonaudio.com/housechurch, and you can see we've been on there since 2008, and there's over 4,000 messages on every subject. Just, you can go to the search engine and any subject you're interested in. If you want to hear messages on the resurrection, the atonement, on any of those other ones, feel free to do so. Okay? I think that Walt will be with us shortly here, and hopefully I'll hit the right button this time. What do you think of all this, Mark?
Well, I enjoy what you're speaking about. I'm doing this with time.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
Come on, Walt. okay, here he is. Admit.
Yeah.
There he is.
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Walt. How you doing, brother?
Howdy, howdy.
Yeah.
Well, we've been on Facebook for 24 minutes and 10 seconds, so we've covered a lot of ground the last 24 minutes, but we welcome Walt Stickel. We're glad that he was able to join us. Walt, we've covered a little bit of the Vatican Jesuit Logan Conspiracy Part 1 and Part 2, and we explained to people there are several authors involved in this. It's not just Walt Stickel, but it's a multiplicity of authors. We've also talked about, and I wanted to share with Walt because he doesn't know this yet, while I went to the library today, and they have free books, okay? And in the free book section was this book, Elon Musk, a story about one of the world's most important innovators. And lo and behold, now you talk about the sovereignty of God, the providence of God. I opened this book up, and in here, I'm sure it wasn't supposed to be left in the book, was a letter, okay, from the Arkansas Department of Education, okay, from the office of Asa Hutchison, former governor of Arkansas. On December 6, 2021, as a part of Governor Asa Hutchison's Computer Science Initiative, the Arkansas Department of Education Office of Computer Science announced that public school libraries that serve students in any combination of grades 5 to 8 will receive a copy of Elon Musk's book entitled The Quest for a Fantastic Future. We encourage the computer science education encourages you to make this available to all of your students. This is the letter right in the book. And I looked through this book on Elon Musk, and man, I'm telling you, it is amazing. It is absolutely amazing. And I was sharing with our audience, Walt, that this morning I turned on American Family Radio. They have a new host who used to work for Donald Trump. She's a woman. And guess who her guest was this morning? Father Frank Provone. Okay. Now, Father Frank Provone was kicked out of the... Father Frank Provone was kicked out of the Roman Catholic Church because he was coming against abortion. And they thought he was too strong against abortion, and so they kicked him out. He's kicked out of the Roman Catholic. He still supports the Roman Catholic Church. I mean, she called him Father all the way through the interview, you know, on American Family Radio. And so that's kind of what's been on my mind this morning. Here we have supposedly a host of several hundred Christian radio stations hosting Father Frank Provone and saying they're coming against this doctrine of the abortion, but yet they're promoting Catholicism at the same time.
Well, I think it comes to the point that historically, if we were to look at Christianity historically, the Western world believes that the Roman Catholic Church is a Christian church.
Well, she certainly
time to realize we can't go over the top of that.
She certainly kept referring to the church as it was relates to Catholicism. She kept referring to it as that. And you mentioned to me that I should read something in your book that you did the introduction on. And I did. I went through that section that you told me to read. If I'm not mistaken, it was The Jesuits Today. I'm sorry, the How American Became a Jesuit Enclave, right?
No.
Was that what you wanted me to read?
Well, no. It was on page 119. It was the book that was written in 1888. Washington in the Lap of Rome by Justin D. Fulton.
Okay, I gotcha. Okay.
And the reason... Now, Now, this is a book that was written in 1888. You know, the reason I want to, before you
start, Mark is leaving us, so give a wave, Walt, to Mark.
See you, Walt. Brother, see
you. Okay, we'll catch you later, Mark. Yeah. Sorry, I was a little late. Bit late.
Okay, Washington in the Lap of Rome. I did read that. I did go to and read that. And, you know, there's so much...
Now, the reason...
Go ahead, Walt. I'm sorry.
Well, the reason I wanted to bring that up is you already brought up... Now, this book here... That you can go to my website, granddesignexposed.com, and you can go to the download page, the book download page, and you can read this book for yourself. And now it is offered up on Lulu and the Amazon. But the reason I wanted you to read this and to the listeners is this: this book was written in 1888. Okay. In 1888, Justin Fulton, and there was the sentiment in the United States, people understood who the beast was. And it was written, like I said, in 1888. So when I read this little paragraph here, remember, this was written in 1888. It sounds like it could be written today, see, it's Washington in the Lap of Rome has been written to call the attention of the American people to the great trust which has been betrayed, and to the great work which evolves upon it. It covers facts which will bring the blush of shame to the cheek of the real Republican and fill his soul with indignation. 15,000 department clerks are under the surveillance of Rome. If it would be not true, as it is charged, that a private wire runs from the White House in Washington to the Cardinal's Palace in Baltimore. what I want to bring out here is that back in... You know, this is back in 1888, that the people had enough history that we could understand that. But in today's world, people don't have enough history of who of Rome. As a matter of fact, in some circles, they give no credence to the reformers. I didn't even realize it till a week ago or so, but some people they have given no credence to the beast. They don't give no credence to Rome, because you see all the reformers, the four beasts in Daniel, the last empire to rule is going to be Rome, according to Daniel's, and the interpretation of all the reformers. So if we would fast forward now to 2023, we can see that the title of the book, Washington in the Lap of Rome, we're totally in the lap of Rome, in Rome's agenda. And you mentioned Elon Musk a little earlier. Well, Elon Musk, you know, the great inventor and everything, he's had a I mean, it's being talks about that the agenda today, the world agenda, I want to watch my words, but the world agenda today is nature worship. They worship, they worship the creation instead of the creator. And sometimes Larry and I, we visit and we talk about what I put in this book, and it's real important what Larry said. This is not a book that Walt wrote, see, and this is why. This is why it's called the Vatican Jesuit Global Conspiracy Book 2. Now, I put out two books that and these were actually books I use as research pages. But what inspired me to go further was this, and I'll read the introduction of the book. See, this is what I wrote. When reading this book, remember, now, it was written by Ronald Cook. Ronald Cook I would call him a Reformation historian. And he's written two books. He's written more than two books, but he wrote a book called The Antichrist Exposed, The Reformed and Puritan View of the Antichrist. And he's written two volumes, Volume 1 and Volume 2. Inspired me to read it is because at the time I come across this book, we had a Jesuit pope about to speak, to come to our Congress and talk to a joint session of Congress. And not only was he the Pope, but he was a Jesuit Pope. Let me read this first paragraph. This sums up what inspired me to, because I had read these other books, and they were saying the same thing. Different authors, like Michael DeSemlin, Richard Bennett. When reading this book, remember Ronald Cook wrote this in 1985. This world did not have a Jesuit pope. The founding of the Jesuits in 1534 was to counter the Reformation. Now, on September 24th, 2015, a Jesuit pope is coming to speak to a joint session of Congress. What does this tell us in 2015? You see, this is when the Pope came. He came on September 24th, 2015. It reveals that the Christians are under a strong delusion with the teaching of futurism and unaware of biblical, historical, and prophetic Antichrist is coming to address the lawmakers to celebrate the completion of the Jesuit Counter-Reformation of America. They were there to celebrate. I mean, they were celebrating because now a lot of people are not going to like what I say here. But worldly, right now in 2023, they have overcome the protest. The protest, there isn't any more protestantism. And that's why we don't hear of any evangelical church talking about Rome, or nobody wants to talk about Rome. When Rome is the one that rules this country.
Hey, Walt, can I interrupt you for a second?
Yes.
I have a question. Because this came up the other day. I was on a broadcast, and I was shocked. I'm not going to mention the guy's name, but it was an old-school Baptist broadcast. And the host of the broadcast made a statement that just floored me. He said, "I don't really have any use for the reformers." What's your response to that?
Well, I would say that he is not giving any credence to the Reformation. And because the Reformation, and the Reformation was in, you know, Martin Luther, but it was John Wycliffe who was called the Morning Star all the way back to the 1400s. He had interpreted the New Testament. And so, to answer your question, when somebody says that, that tells me, without being, they're not acknowledging history. Because this is something that has been buried, and America is completely blind to this. Now this country was formed because of the Reformation. People were coming over here, and when this country was founded, there was less than 1% of the population were Catholics, and the reason they came over here is to get away from the beast, the Roman Catholicism. And so, and also we have to, when somebody says this, whether they know it or not, they are going along with the Counter-Reformation. First of all, they're not even acknowledging that it happened. And what they're not acknowledging is it was because of the Reformation, God is sovereign, and God used the Reformation to give us the Bible. And of course, then when you know, when somebody says that, also that tells me they don't understand the founding of America. America, now listen to what I'm saying, and I'm going to say it slowly, without any emotion. The American Revolution, the motive for it, and the ones that benefited was Rome. The American Revolution was not fought over tea and taxes, like the Boston Tea Party and the suppression of, they were starting to tax the colonies. That was not the issue. The issue was to form a country and to give this country freedom of religion. Because with the freedom of religion, before 1776, Rome didn't have any footing in America, and overnight they had them all. And so when people continue to deny and don't understand the American Revolution, they don't understand the founding of America. And all we have to do is look at Washington, D.C. And like one fellow said to me, how can you have freedom of religion and have an obelisk in your national capital? How can you have how can you have separation of church and state? Because the whole revolution, the whole motive for it was about Rome getting a foothold. All Rome wanted from the revolution is the right to build churches. Prior to 1776, written in the constitutions, the 13 constitutions of the colonies, it was right in their constitution that Rome, that Catholics couldn't hold public office. And so all we have to do, and all we have to do is fast forward to present time and ask who benefited from the American Revolution. I think that answers the question. I don't think I have to. I don't have to be pro this and pro and anti this. I mean, you just got to look at the history. You got to look at the history. And then look and see what's going on. Who's behind this Green Deal? Let's leave out some things, because if we talk about some things, we'll be taken down. So, let's talk about the global warming. Who is behind global warming? Is the Pope behind it? The papacy writes in, they're called in encyclicals. You know, it's kind of like a copy of what they plan ahead and what they're doing. And the papacy has wrote encyclicals on the Green Deal and global warming. Basically, what we see going on right now is the New Age movement has crawled into all. You know, they've used it as a battering ram, and the father of the New Age movement is I cannot pronounce his name. He's a Frenchman. Didier Jain. Do you know how to say that?
I can't say it, but I know who you're talking about.
Well, you'll find that he's called the father of the New Age movement, and guess what? He's a Roman Catholic. You know, and then when they had Vatican II, evangelicalism is a tool. It's another word for Catholic, for Roman Catholicism. I mean Roman Catholicism. That's why it's called Roman Catholicism. Roman Catholicism. Nobody will disagree with me that the word Catholic, another word for Catholic, is universal.
And you've pointed this out several times, Walt, that, you know, this, the prevalence of Catholicism is not just isolated to the United States. It's all around the world. We got right on with this today, a guy from Pakistan and a guy from Zambia. And if you look at all the countries out there that have been influenced by Catholicism, including South America, I mean, Pope Francis came from Argentina. And we look at Brazil and Colombia and all these other South American countries that have been influenced by Catholicism. It's a worldwide influence. And for anyone to say, I don't really have any, you know, use for the reformers. I know you may not agree with all of their doctrine, okay, but the point is that God in a mighty way used the reformers, like Walt said, to bring to light the truth of the gospel of God's word. And John Tyndale brought it into the English language. And I also find it interesting that this same person wants to come against the authorized King James Version of the Bible and say it's not inerrant, it's not inspired, it's not infallible. Once we start denying the preservation of God's Word, that God has preserved His Word, the King authorized King James Version of the Bible over the last 400 years, we're putting doubts in a lot of people's minds about the relevancy of God's Word in the English language. And so I think that it's wrong to plant seeds of doubt in the minds of believers. You know, what are your thoughts about that, Walt? I can't hear you.
When you start talking that way, you're actually denying. See, you're actually denying and you're putting a lot of doubts in people's minds, and it just blurs out the American Revolution, and it blurs out the motives why this country was founded. You know, I used to ask this to people, and I say, do you know why we speak English? And people would look at me dumbfounded. Well, why do we speak English? Because the reason for it is because the original 13 colonies spoke English. And you know, as I start talking about this and trying to answer this, it overwhelms me. But this little book will lead you to, there's seven different authors in this book. There might be more than that, but there's the seven, and they're all saying the same thing, and they're all from different ages. See, because when you go to the contents of this book, the first five subtitles, and I don't even call them chapters, but the first five articles subtitles come from a book of Ronald Cook, and it was called The Vatican Jesuit Global Conspiracy. He wrote in 1985, and what inspired me to put it together is because he didn't know there was going to be a Jesuit a Pope in 2015. Ronald Cook doesn't claim to be a prophet, but we have a Jesuit Pope that spoke here. I'm talking about history that happened, you know, 8 years ago. In 2015, we had a Jesuit Pope come to this and got 29 standing ovations. I mean, and all I'm trying to say is, this is. Now the first five are Ronald Cook. The next two chapters are subtitles, I call them, Subliminal Rome and Missionary Adaptation. Now, that was written by Tupper F. Saucy, the author of Rumors of Evil, which is a hard book to get a hold of, but you can get the PDF file up on my webpage. Because you know, I'm not trying to pat myself on the back for this little book, but you know, I don't know another. I know a few. Speakers up on the internet and podcasts. I know just a handful, maybe two or three, no one has the biography and the history of America and America's like Tupper Sausage book. The first chapter, now the first chapter is in the book, it's called Subliminal Rome. And if you can refute, and he got his information out of the 1992 almanac. and then Inquisition in America. Now I got that from Tupper Sausage, Chris Pinto. in the Capitol, up on the ceiling that runs a ring around the inside of the House chamber are busts. They have probably 40, 50 busts of men that pertain to people that worked for law, and two of the busts are Roman popes. The popes that are up there are two popes, Gregory the Ninth and Innocent the Third, I think it is, that were instrumental in the Inquisition.
Hey, well, you asked me a question the other day, and I'm going to throw it back to you. You said you'd like to I'm not going to mention who you said you'd like to ask this to, but you said you'd like to ask someone the question, who is the man of sin? Who is the son of perdition? Who is the son of perdition, Walt?
The Pope.
So when we say that we've been chastised, Walt and I have been chastised this before, but when we make an assertion that Pope Francis is of Antichrist, we get a lot of pushback on that. Can you address that a little bit, why we can say in all conscience that Pope Francis is of Antichrist?
That is a very good question, and in one of the authors that I got in this book, I have a chapter out of one of his chapter 31 out of Code Word Babylon by P.D. Stewart, and it's entitled "How America Became a Jesuit Enclave." We had 28 Jesuit universities in this country, 244 colleges. We have 50 Jesuit high schools. This country, and everything that they teach, this country has been Jesuitized. And of course, we're not going to change things. We're not going to demonstrate on a corner. You know, we're not going to change nothing. This has been going on since the inception of this country, but what I can say is sometimes I've talked about this book, but I do have to say that I put this book together, and I can pick this book up today, and I can open the book and just spin to the. And it doesn't matter what page I come to.
Would it be fair to say, now I know that a lot of the pushback that we've gotten is people have said, well, there are many antichrists. Would it be fair to say that every pope down through history has been antichrist? We just lost Walt, so I don't know what happened to him. We just lost him. Hopefully he'll call back in. maybe he had a bad connection or something. But I think that that would be fair to say. In fact, all the reformers down through history said that they were of Antichrist, all the ones down through history. Are you back with us, Walt?
Yes.
We lost you there momentarily.
Yes.
So.
Well, you know, Larry, when I start talking about this book, I get overwhelmed. Because everything in this book has been, you know, you always hear that, you know, you hear people say that they're rewriting history. They're rewriting history. That isn't what has happened. They're leaving out history.
Right.
And when somebody wants to not acknowledge the Reformation, they're leaving out history, a big chunk of history.
Yeah, and whenever they deny that over 50 million people were killed by the Roman Catholic Church in an Inquisition, that is total, what I call, that's called beast deniers, you know? In other words, and by the way, the spirit of Inquisition is alive and well today, evidenced by the ecumenical movement bringing Catholicism back into the evangelical churches. That is, well, listen,
right.
Walt, we have been on now, I'm going to have to probably bring this, because I've been on Facebook an hour and 15 minutes, okay, before you were on, I was on Facebook for 30 minutes, so I'd probably like to bring this to a conclusion. We'll plan on doing this again, if Walt can, next Friday, same time at 11:30 his time, 9:30 central time, and we'll continue exploring these subjects. I think it's important we address, I was telling my wife, we were in the car today, and when Father Frank Provone came on American Family Radio broadcast, I looked at Rosette and I said, do you see why Walt makes such a big deal over Roman Catholicism? We've got Father Frank Provone on a Christian broadcast. Okay, I mean, this is...
Yeah.
It's in our face.
Seen this humanity.
It's in our face. It's in our face. Do you have any final thoughts for us before we close out, Walt?
Well, you know, first of all, I want to apologize for not being here on time this morning. But
no problem.
It's cold here, man. We're not used to cold. I got about 2 inches of snow on the ground.
Mm.
And I haven't seen that much snow on the ground in 20 years.
Wow. Wow.
So anyway, but I want to apologize. But it's such a big subject. And only the hand of God, that you want to look into this history. See, I don't want to throw arrows at anybody. I'm not here to throw darts at Roman Catholicism. I mean, the two books that I have, the Vatican Jesuit Global Conspiracy, Book 1 and Book 2, are just telling you. Like Book 1 just tells you what Roman Catholicism, what they believe.
Right.
And where they came from. And all the different, like transubstantiation. We don't have time to go into transubstantiation. But that's the backbone of Roman Catholicism.
That's right. That's right.
By the grace of God, I'll tell you, if you knew how this book got on the internet and how this book got into book form, I mean, it's hard to, I even have a hard time believing it myself, you see. A book should be written on about the American Revolution, because the American Revolution covered, it puts a mask on America.
The American Revolution was counter-reformation.
it was counter-reformation. That's right. You know, in other words, and then when people say that they don't even believe it, they give any credence to the Reformation. Well, I mean, they are denying that statement there puts a dead end in you know.
And I want to qualify. He actually said, "I don't really have any use or credence for the reformers," and I think he was referring to their theology. But the problem you get into is when you start denying God's sovereignty in the reformers' activities, you're actually, like Walt says, you're denying history, and you're minimizing God's sovereign act over men in history and providence. So anyway, I'm going to have to close this out, Walt. I'm glad you could join us, and I'll look forward to next Friday. We'll see you also, Walt. Plan on Wednesday night. We have a fellowship on Wednesday night. And anyway, that's pretty much all I have now, Walt. Do you,